Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by a guy who is not the typical guest we have on. You got an engineering background. Now you're the co-founder of a company. Everybody welcome Troy Conker, and I'll explain why he's on the show in just a sec. Troy, how you doing, man?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
So today we're talking about how to build and scale like selling services. And I think the reason that we got into this conversation is you're the co-founder over at Go Nimbly, which you guys, not only are you an engineer by trade, but you're also focusing on sales ops as a sort of, well, selling a sales ops service. So I thought, who better to have a conversation about designing our sales process than with the guy who probably does this with customers quite a bit more than we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Revenue operations actually is what we sell. But yeah, just like you said, I'm a founder of Go Nimbly. Company's about 6 years old. My background's in engineering. I've been building kind of revenue software for revenue teams for a while now. I've spent a lot of my career cleaning up kind of the things that happen when you don't have a scalable kind of sales process. So I've applied that to, scaling Go Nimbly and scaling our revenue team. Now my official title is CRO. We're still, a relatively small company, but, we're scaling from $2 million run rate to $10 million by the end of the year.
Wow. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
And I know a couple of your clients, they all said good things. And so getting you on the show was, I was pretty excited about. I want to jump in and because we're both in a similar space where we're selling services.
Yeah.
And when you're selling services, especially when it's something that, the founders can deliver, or it started off as the founders being that delivery point, What you sell is basically so liquid, right? It makes it really challenging to lock it down ahead of time. So How do you maintain that sort of, like, how have you approached that and tried to sort of solve the, well, we can sell everything, but obviously that doesn't scale super well. Have you gone into, hey, do we have specific packages, or are you just super wide open and say, I will sell you basically what you need?
Yeah. I mean, early on we would take, a lot of different initiatives, engagements, work with a lot of different companies. I think it really, that's the good thing, about starting a company is you can do a lot of different things. I don't know if you're waving to me or something.
I'm putting the blinds down right behind me.
No worries. And I think that that's really kind of a healthy way to experiment early on in your company is, okay, let's do a bunch of different things to see what resonates, see where the market's going. There was a lot of, commotion around revenue operations. So that's an opportunity that we saw, and we had a huge expertise in that, and are now thought leaders in it. My CEO Jason has a lot to say about revenue operations, and he's been on many podcasts here. So, I think we're trying to define that category, and I think that we're doing a great job. And part of that is having a true kind of a prescriptive approach and a directive and something, a vision that you're shooting for. So I would say how do we package things is, get to a place where you are, defining constraints that you're not willing to accept and ones that you are willing to accept. So some of the companies that we work with, and these are things that we've defined in the last couple of years, are, Series B startups and above, all the way to pre-IPO and public companies and beyond. We are focused on revenue operations. We do work with a lot of SaaS brands, companies like Twilio and Zendesk, PagerDuty, companies like that. Those are probably some of the bigger brands that we work with. But I think it's really about kind of dialing in a prescriptive kind of program that can speak to the areas that you want to develop your expertise and areas that you can really shine in your expertise. So, we have a very, I would say, process-oriented way that we engage new customers. It's very effective and efficient to, get to their true pains and develop a roadmap that's, going to be successful for both parties, something that we can help define and deliver and you know, continue to deliver value with that customer. So it took many, I mean, the company is 6 years old. I would say in the last 3 years, we've really defined that, hey, here's what we want. Here's what we don't think we're a fit for. Here's kind of the words and terminology that we should notice and latch onto and really recognize our kind of key words that signify that we can be successful with this customer.
Mm-hmm. And so like you mentioned that you're developing sort of a custom roadmap for every client. How templatized is that? Like how, and what I'm trying to get at is, you know, are there a couple of similar roadmaps that you see customers falling into, or is everything totally bespoke?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's totally bespoke. There's a lot of overlap with the customers that we work with, and it really depends on more so the stage of the company, the stage of their go-to-market team, and their ambition. Like, what are they shooting for? Are they trying to really explode, or they have kind of all this go-to-market team set up, and they just need more scalable infrastructure set up and a roadmap to success to hit their goals? Or are they more of a less aggressive growth type of company, and they're really just trying to make sure that they're continuously investing in these systems and go-to-market processes in a way that's sustainable and consistent and can pay long-term, essentially, like, I like to think of it as like compound interest for your revenue team investments, and particularly in terms of operational infrastructure and things like that. So I guess there is some customization, and there is a lot of templatizing of a roadmap. Hey, we saw this thing similar at this customer. Maybe they had problem with, like sales development, AE handoff. Like that's a really kind of critical step. And we have a bunch of thoughts and ideas on how to improve that and instrument it and make sure that we understand it first as a business. And usually that's typically what I see, is a lot of our customers have data problems. So how do we make sure that we understand the business and it's instrumented in a way that we're not just making stuff up and kind of shooting from the hip, but we're really kind of backing things up with, with insights about the business and about the customer lifecycle and journey.
That's fair. So it sounds almost like you've got kind of two high level customer segments, and that one is sort of the bootstrappers and the other is sort of hyper growth, if you fit people into those buckets.
I mean, yeah, sure. It's really, I wouldn't say that like either is like a bootstrap. Like, we don't really work with a ton of bootstrap businesses. It's just the mentality of the business. I mean, you have one business that's ultra aggressive about their growth and their ambitions and where they're going. And maybe there's a lot of competition in their marketplace. And so they're really trying to dominate their segment very quickly. And then you have just the regular aggressive growth startup that is, still really looking to expand and grow aggressively, but they're both aggressive. It's just, somewhere on different levels.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of a different spectrum. And then within each, you kind of have different jobs to be done or things that they need to, progress they need to make, whether it's data, getting Salesforce or getting all their tools stitched together.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely an area of it. I mean, we sell revenue operations, and the four core pillars of that for us are strategy, data and analytics, some insights, process and technology, and finally enablement, which is really around training and making sure that you're leveraging the tools and processes that you have. So that's, I would say, how we look at our customer and kind of the lens that we try to look through. Do they have kind of the right strategy? And most often they have an idea of the right strategy, but they're looking to us to, kind of help define, what does that roadmap look like? There's some give and take there, but most often they come to us with data issues. I'm seeing a ton of data issues. It's just a never ending kind of problem, because you know, go-to-market teams are trying to do more complicated motions all the time. So it's, you know, the more kind of technology and tools, the more data you have, the more problems you typically have.
Yeah, that totally fair. And I like the way that you sort of look at it. I imagine, and we're going to get into this when we get into the, your actual sales process, but I imagine that's, those sort of four pillars are reflected as you walk somebody through a discovery call or the discovery process.
I mean, sometimes it could be a little bit from like drinking from a fire hose. We could talk about that in a little bit. I'd be happy to talk about it now.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, why don't we jump in? I had a couple other questions, but I can move those to a little bit lower here. So why don't we jump in? What is your, walk me through like what your sales process used to look like? Because I know at a certain point, I think you weren't as involved, and now you've taken it on full time. So what did it look like before, and now what is it? And what does it look like now?
Yeah. So I guess to just take one step back and frame it up, because we are, you know, very much a referral based company. We grow by word of mouth. You know, we work with companies and we work with operators at SaaS businesses, and you know, our presence is in the Bay Area, so you have a lot of people kind of hopping jobs around. So that's great for our growth, because it can, you know, people take us with them. You know, there's a small network here, so if that community is asking, hey, do you know any good firms that can help us with our operations, and you know, we usually get recommended. So I would say that's typically how we enter into a selling conversation with a customer. But step one is really a half hour call. I guess let me answer your question about our old sales process. We used to just get referrals all the time. I would say we know how important sales processes are, because we've spent our careers cleaning up the lack of process. So we've always had one. I would say we may not have always been the best at adhering to it. You have three or four founders of a company, and they're all kind of bringing in business from different areas of their network. I would say, you know, we have some kind of introduction call. We talk about kind of the scope of the engagement. This is the old. And then we try to get to a more formalized document that says, okay, here's what we think we can do together, and here's what we think it's going to cost, and here's timeframes, and et cetera. It was fairly, I would say it was different dependent on kind of who was representing the company at the time. And this was before we also had a dedicated, you know, person who is, you know, their full-time job is growing the company and selling. So we had a lot of different, you know, ways that we would sell Go Nimbly. And over the last 3 years, we've consolidated that into a more kind of uniform, consistent process that really focuses on the first, you know, interaction, whether they're emailing us and making sure that we're booking time with them. We really try to be responsive. So they fill out a contact us form, we're on it. Like, we get notifications inside of Slack, and we have a standard template that we send out a meeting request. And then we'll book an intro discovery call with them. It's a 30-minute conversation. This is the new kind of model. And it's really trying to build trust and make them feel comfortable and confident that GoNimbly could be a partner, and really just trying to put our best foot forward to say, hey, here's who we are. Here's how we work. We're a little bit different from other firms that you might be kind of thinking about as you're looking to invest in your ops. And here's how we're different. And, you know, I really try to make it about them. I want to make them comfortable. So they ask questions. It's generally pretty conversational. Lately, I've been trying to steer them. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your business. Let's talk a little bit about your customer, you know, your business in terms of your customer. And then we'll talk about their team. So what kind of capabilities do they have? That can really help to identify any kind of gaps that they might have where we could come in and fill those. And then we talk about initiatives that are kind of on their top of mind, the things that are keeping them up at night. I don't ask that question, but you can tell that's kind of why they're coming to us. It's like, oh, I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, and you know, here's the thing that's really bugging me, or the, you know, the five things. And you know, after that, we have a pretty good set of a bulleted list of information that we think that we can use to turn into what we call a program outline. And that's a second meeting. In that first meeting, I'm very focused on making sure that they have a clear picture about, okay, what's the end-to-end process look like with working with these, with this team. So, you know, they don't have any questions about the process. Since I'm relatively new to being a somebody who's dedicated to growing the company, you know, being in sales, that's one of the first lessons that I've really latched onto is make sure that your customer, your client feels very confident about what's going to happen in the future, and that they don't have, that their questions are really about understanding how could we work together, not about what's going to happen next and kind of have these people done this before. So I'll book a second meeting with them, depending on urgency. It might be in a couple of days or it might be in, you know, the coming weeks. And I'll walk them through, okay, here's what I heard last time, and here's how I think that, you know, I could structure a team to work with, partner with your company and, start to build out that roadmap. They don't have it, and start to execute against that roadmap and start to deliver value. And that includes timeframes, like when do we want to start, cost, what are the resources involved, who are those resources? Because it's a very people-oriented business, people-focused business. People are very curious about who are they going to work with. Now we're in kind of this outline phase of our sales process, and I'm really trying to solicit feedback and make sure that they can articulate how would they work with GoNimbly and how does it work.
So, help me understand this outline piece, because I think what a lot of people, a lot of people I've talked to or sales teams I talk to, they run the discovery call, send a proposal, then they're like, okay, feedback. Right? What do you like? What don't you like? Sometimes you customize the proposal. I mean, ideally you're customizing that proposal. But for some people, you're building out like an entirely new roadmap. It sounds like there's quite a bit that goes into that, but you're not quite sending them the proposal. So what does this outline look like on the, like when you're actually on the call? Is it?
It's a deck. It's a deck. It's a key. Boy. Yeah. It's
you're better than that.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying you're better than that. Don't.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is an artifact, right? And if you're it is a keynote. It is an artifact, you know, just a part of what you kind of opened up with is that consulting is a kind of a big, hairy business. It can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and you could do so much with it. So balancing, like keeping it liquid versus keeping it specific and more kind of static, I think is are how that manifests at GoNimbly is this kind of key, you know, for the outline perspective. And, you know, there is some kind of, hey, we're trying to educate them on RevOps since this is like a new term and a new kind of paradigm that we have to educate the market around. It means a lot of different things to different people. And, frankly, people think they know what revenue ops is, but a lot of times it doesn't totally align with GoNimbly's perspective of it. So there's some kind of meeting in the middle that I have to do. And then I show them, hey, here's an example of kind of the team and who they look like and who you might work with. And here's how we measure success. And here's how we know that we're, focused on the right areas and areas that are going to improve your business. And, you know, here's what the first kind of 90 days looks like. It gets super specific, but I phrase it as an outline. I phrase it as an area for feedback so that they understand that this is not fixed. And it's a placeholder for us to have a conversation around and really align. And I think that's pretty important for having those first couple of meetings and to have something that they can take away and, you know, start to articulate internally either to their executive team or to their boss or whoever. And it includes, you know, pricing and things like that. So I think I answered your question, but was there?
Yeah. Let me see if I understand. So
yeah,
in this set of stone that you're chiseling for your clients, you start with problem space about the team, about your team, about your process, and then you get into the sort of first 90 days.
Yep.
kind of the outline of a proposal. Why not just, you know, send them a proposal ahead of time, and you guys can go through it on the call.
That's a fair point. I mean, I really like to, I don't think that's ideal, but I think it can happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we work with a lot of fairly busy people, and we do have two different ways that we kind of sell and go to market, or two different service lines, if you will. One is a kind of an on-demand, some more staff augmentation kind of model where, hey, they need a revenue operations consultant for, let's say, you know, 40 hours a week for the next, you know, 6 months. Maybe somebody's like going on paternity leave, or maybe they're, you know, any number of things could happen. But that is, you know, one that's a little bit more transactional and doesn't, you know, it's a, hey, it's a human. And it's a fairly tactical, I would say. Then there's this other motion where we're selling, hey, you get this kind of flagship team that is really your RevOps team. They can do anything under the sun. And, you know, that I would say takes a little bit more of a, it just takes a little bit more definition on what exactly it is that they're going to execute.
That's fair. And I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. I just want to see sort of understand your thought process. And yeah. I agreed, Troy and I agreed ahead of time that I was going to grind his gears for using slides in the sales process.
No, I like it. Yeah, I think it's good.
It's something I've never, maybe I just don't like it because I've never been good at it, but I find it takes away from the conversation. It sort of, it can distract. You know, but if you have a different opinion, if you're listening in, like, reach out. I'd love to have a chat. Yeah. I am open to the idea of, they can be helpful. I have seen a few where they have been helpful. And if I've seen a few where they've been really helpful, I've seen 100 where they were just terrible. And it's like, well,
yeah,
I'm going to kill my video. I'm going to go have lunch. Cause you know, this call is basically you're regurgitating what's on the website.
It's definitely a crutch. And I would say kind of your point about, hey, sending it over versus walking people through it. You can send it over in a pinch. Like, I want to keep, you know, my engineering background, I think of things as asynchronous and synchronous. I really want to keep that, you know, their feedback to the proposal and like their gut reaction and like initial reaction to it. I want to be there so that I can answer any, you know, kind of hesitations or objections or whatever it is that they might have and explain things a little. Cause we don't have real, I mean, it's there, it's fine. It can be a standalone artifact, but it really does take some context building and some setup to really, I would say, be delivered in a way that is best and kind of explains, hey, here's why we put this together in this way. And it needs that, you know, salesperson's context to be given to really, I would say, land fully. But we have been experimenting with, you know, people who are busy executives and they need to see something. And we've had some success with that. And I think it's all about kind of making them feel comfortable and meeting the buyer where they're at, from my perspective. You know, if they don't have time for a meeting or if they're maybe on the fence, in between that kind of first meeting and second meeting, sending it over can really, you know, start to build trust and show that, hey, we're willing to be a flexible partner and we're willing to meet you where you're at.
Mm-hmm. I do like having the, you know, I mean, at the end of every meeting, you know, booking the next meeting. I think that's
one of
the smartest things you can do in sales, especially when you're sending a proposal. If you're going to put any level of effort, I'm damn sure going to make sure that we have a next meeting booked, or I'm not putting any work into this. So I think it's smart to be, you know, in some ways it's smart to be sharing it on the call. It can be a distraction, can be hindrance. It can be a crutch, but you know, it's getting them to that call. And you're right. You do get a chance to shape how they see things firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way we do it, if I can sort of jump in with like our process, is our discovery calls tend to run long, right? Now the difference between our two services, what you're selling is quite a bit more complex, yeah. I think, in that you're dealing with a fairly complex system. It's either, you know, especially when you're selling the sort of RevOps service, right? There's so many variables. Oh, I've got Salesforce, Eloqua, Marketo, Pardot, Outreach, whatever. I've got data problems. I've got Salesforce problems. I've got training problems. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas customers come to us, they're like, well, we we've got a pipeline gap, right? We need to build. Yeah. We want to build this new team, right? It's a simple solution. The actual, like, you know, putting it all together is going to be fairly complex. At least that's how I see it. I mean, maybe you feel the exact same way about your service.
I mean, I think it is tempting for us to really get into the weeds, especially as an ex-consultant who is really, you know, trying to sell. I'm trying to keep, you know, selfishly, I'm trying to keep our cycles very short because they can go very long. And, you know, frankly, it a lot of times it doesn't matter exactly what, like, the technologies are, or kind of what integration issue you might have, or what kind of, you know, lack of vision for your operational roadmap is. We have, like, I'm very confident that our team can work with any company, and, you know, that I kind of stated our constraints or our ICP, and, you know, find success. Like, this is something that we've spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to make a fantastic consulting offering. We know that our business is built on our brand, and we have a very compelling model that can really tackle anything under the sun. So I think, you know, making people feel that and let them know that, hey, we've been here and done that, it can really help to make that cycle short, and let them know that, hey, like, we can talk about a ton of details once the consultants get involved. But I really try to keep it high level as much as possible.
Gotcha. So maybe the services are the same, because it's kind of similar, right? I could get into, you know, response rates, conversion rates, you know, the total addressable market, all the data sources where it's at.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what you're looking for, you're not looking to buy a drill, you're looking to buy a hole, right? No matter what it is. Mm-hmm. I think the difference in our process, like, you sort of go discovery, outline, feedback, it is on the sort of next call, proposal, commercials.
Yeah.
We're sort of we have our SDRs, and we go a little bit deeper on the SDR side, but our SDRs run what we call an Are We a Fit call. And sometimes they can do it on a, you know, a 5-minute cold call kind of thing. Sometimes it's a pre-scheduled call.
Yeah.
It's inbound or outbound. So the calls that are getting to us, they have a good idea. We generally have a good idea of what they're looking for in the first place, right? Yeah. Is it building a team? Is it you want us to build a team for you, right? Like, are kind of the two. And so we can be prepared for that conversation. Then we still run our discovery to make sure, hey, they're going in the right, we're taking them in the right direction. But there's always this, like, I'd say like 70% of the conversation of that initial discovery call is like discovery, discovery, discovery. And then we kind of, I don't know, I just visualize it like a check mark, sort of like a reverse Nike swoosh. Whereas, you know, you've got the high side on the left, and then I think my video is inverted, so it might actually be kind of the opposite to you, because it's inverted to me, so it looks like I'm in a mirror. That's how Zoom does it, but I think when it's actually produced, it's not. So anyway, on the front side, there's this 70% of the conversation, and that's discovery. And then you get to, you know, we call it the turn, and it's basically you do another summary of, hey, here's what I know about you, right? And then you kind of, I feel like we do like a verbal outline. So here's how I think we can help. Here's the recommendation. And then let's talk about that. And this is on that first call where our account exec is sort of engaging with the prospect.
Got it. So, but you also said that your sales dev team engages on that first call as well. Or is that, how are these people coming to you? Is it a contact us form? Like, how do you get the context of, oh, they're looking to build a team, or is it just like an option to fill out in your form, or how do you get that?
Yeah, for inbound. So our inbound process is basically, you know, they'll come to the site, and they'll fill out a form. And on that, it's like, I want you to prospect for me. I want you to help me build a team. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, or like, I don't know. And about half the people say, I don't know. So if they're coming inbound, they're going to have a chat with one of our SDRs that's going to help kind of understand a little bit deeper, and then filter them to the right person. And they'll have a sense for, you know, basically, here's their biggest pains, here's what they're trying to solve.
Yeah.
And then the AE can use that as a jumping off point to get really deep into the discovery.
Yeah.
So like our air quotes discovery calls are actually kind of like a second discovery call, because our SDRs have already helped out a little bit. So we're kind of in some ways our process that are similar and other ways they're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got more context coming in. If it's, so we have like a true inbound where they're filling out like a form that says, help me prospect or help me build a team.
Yeah.
Then there's the sort of in the middle, which is the outbound marketing, which people on this podcast might have experienced, which is if you've downloaded one of our eBooks, or if you've engaged with some of the, our posts on social media, our SDR team will have a look at you and say, oh, well, you know, they look like they're within ICP, and then they're going to go outbound. And so we're taking all the marketing assets that our team is creating, and we're looking for viable targets that sort of meet our ideal customer profile. And so those are the like super warm ones. And in that case, SDRs are reaching out. So they're outbounding saying, you know, hey, can we have a quick chat? They're kind of making some assumptions about what we want to chat about, but then they're running and we call it an Are We a Fit call, right? And so within that Are We a Fit call, it's the same as the inbound first call, is we're trying to, you have to do a little bit more selling around here's why I reached out and here's why I think we could help.
Yeah.
But then it's ultimately trying to figure out what their biggest pains are, what their challenges are, so that you can get that booked with a with an account exec.
Cool. And when somebody engages with your, you know, social, and your sales dev team is like, oh, like this looks like a fit. Let me go after this. Like, you know, go nimbly is on our, you know, all over our Instagram and LinkedIn, or you know, and Twitter and whatever. Does that sales dev team just go after that individual, or do they kind of swarm the, like an account? Do they try to build like a profile of the account, or so I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, and it sort of depends on the size of the company. It really depends on if they're on our hit list or not. We're in the process of expanding. Basically, we had like a top 100. Now we're going to like a top 5,000 list of like, these are the companies that we feel like we can help. And here's the sort of different segments of the list. And here's what we suspect we could help them with and for what reason. So you've got your like named account list, you know, 5,000 is a large named account list. And then you've got your kind of top, you know, 100 or 200 that are the, like, these are the high end targets. So I think it depends on, are you outside of that list? Are you, you know, within the 5,000? Are you within the top 200? Is going to depend on the strategy.
Cool.
But if it's in the, like the top, you know, a couple hundred, they're going to be building out, you know, the whole account plan, going after multiple people saying, you know, hey, I heard that, or, you know, whatever, and using all those, you know, all the research they're doing for multiple people. If it's just one, if it's like a, and the context can vary, but if it's sort of like just a social media post, then it might not be as much of a, like, hey, let's book a meeting. It could just be some like outreach, some engagement. Hey, I saw that you like this. I thought you might also like this, just to kind of build up that name.
Sure.
All right, so we're still talking about the outline here. So we're coming back to Troy, and he's loving his slides. You're chiseling them into stone like the caveman you are. And so back on your process, you run your discovery call. Then you have your next call is basically you're presenting the outline.
Yeah.
How much of in the discovery call, how much do you tip them off, or do you, you know, give them an idea of what that outline will look like? Are you telling them much of anything? Oh, I think we can help. Here's what I think we can help with. Or is it just, you know, I've collected my thoughts, I'll present them to you on the next call.
It's usually, hey, you know, I think I've heard what I, you know, what I need to put together a couple of options. If they're generally curious about kind of rate or economics early, I'm happy to share those and kind of give ranges and things like that. But yeah, I try to keep it short and sweet and say, hey, like, you know, all this makes sense. You know, you're totally in capable hands and you're normal and things like that. And then, yeah, I try to kick it to the next call. That's definitely, you know, part of my approach.
Okay. So that piece where you're talking about what you can do and how you can help.
Yeah.
It's generally at the end, it's a minute or two, and then you're booking that next call and say, hey, we'll review the full.
It's all throughout, really. Like I wouldn't say that I have it in the end specifically, but if I haven't mentioned it, you know, then it will be, you know, something that's mentioned at the end, but usually it's something I'm trying to sprinkle in all throughout the conversation.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, this to me sounds like more of a team-based approach. You're talking about, you know, you're talking about a lot of strategy, but also maybe needing like Salesforce integration help. So Mm-hmm. That to me doesn't sound like a single person. That sounds like, you know, possibly a team.
Gotcha. So just go on and strategically labeling and interjecting. Oh, it sounds like you're doing this, or sounds like you need that.
Yeah. Really, I'm trying to like pinpoint them on like, you know, hey, are you open to kind of working with our flagship offering, which is, you know, fairly expensive, but also it's really impactful and great for most any business. Or are you really kind of specific and you know what you want and you're just looking for kind of a warm body to help, you know, execute your vision?
Gotcha. Okay. So you're kind of sprinkling it throughout and you're developing your opinion. And then really it's that second call where you're diving in. So, and with the outline, you start with a problem space, you talk about your team, you talk about your process, and then you get into your recommendation or the sort of roadmap and based on everything you've learned.
Yep.
And so now that you've sort of presented that roadmap, questions, or do you just cut the meeting and be like, okay, do you guys want to sign up?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's tough because you could talk all day about the roadmap and really kind of take over. But I try to explain it and say, hey, does anything need to be reordered? Is the price, like, is the sequence kind of correct? Is anything missing? Or is something in here that shouldn't be? And generally they have questions about, you know, our kind of standard operating procedures, really, about, hey, here's what the first few weeks look like that are the same for every customer. But yeah, I just want to get them to really provide a little bit of silence so that they can, you know, feel like they have to say something or give feedback or, you know, start to really think about how is this going to impact their business and how is this going to be useful. So I try to stay quiet. I'm a listener from that perspective and give them space to really, you know, offer their opinion. And it's not just their words, right? You're looking at their body language. Like, are they paying attention? We do it over Zoom usually as well. Mm-hmm. I would say in-person outline is ideal, but it probably happens 50% of the time. Sometimes people are on the road, busy or whatever. But yeah, I try to give them space to really say what they're thinking and be honest. And I definitely encourage them to be critical as well.
So in this outline, like what is the right amount of detail, right? Because like the roadmap could be, you could go as deep as like, okay, well, we think it's, you know, this tool, this integration, it's going to have this, you know, these are the things, these are all the different things that we think we need to do to get your data in order. Or like what's the balance of like high level versus down in the weeds?
I would say this is something that we're experimenting with. I try to keep it. You want detail. Detail is good, I would say. And it really, you know, makes people feel good when you can articulate their business and their problems and their kind of where you think they should go. And maybe a couple of paragraphs say like, hey, here's the themes that we've heard. Here's some of the initiatives that we've discussed. And here's really kind of the foundational kind of core driver of, you know, this engagement. And, you know, if you can boil things in a high level and a low level and in a medium level, I think that really helps. We are trying to, you know, the more kind of detail you have, the more time consuming it is. So it's an art that we're finessing right now to, you know, give the big players or the more kind of ideal customers or the ones that we really think we can be successful with, give them as much detail as possible. But yeah, I mean, we're balancing a bunch of different customers, so it's hard. Time is such a limited resource. So we try to spend as much time as possible on that detail, but, you know, realize that we have constraints. And mm-hmm. maybe I would say try to spend between an hour or two on kind of prepping that outline and with detail.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you've got like, we're talking, talk in numerous slides that you're going into that sort of talks about the about their journey, about what you can do and how you're going to help them. So you're going into quite a bit of detail after spending a couple hours on each of these proposals.
I mean, you know, it's really, so I'm a big fan of documentation. That's kind of a part, another part of my engineering background. I really like documentation. Part of that is I love Zoom as well, which is what we're on, and it's got these really fancy features like recording and transcribing, things like that. So part of it is, you know, taking notes, but also revisiting kind of the recording. And that can be a time consuming effort too, to make sure that I'm really kind of dialing in like the precise detail that I think is going to be necessary to make this client feel successful or feel confident. So it's time consuming to, you know, watch videos and, you know, and try and pull out bits and pieces of what they said that can be relevant for, you know, that deck. So it's not like a huge deck. Really, I would say the meatiest is like one slide, where that's really what they're going to care about. And I think that's where we try to focus our energy on. So, and it's really important, you know, just to, I don't know if you were done griping about slides yet, but you know, when we do kind of all these complicated things, I'm a fan of communicating over multiple mediums. And I think having it in writing and in a way that is an artifact of the conversation that you've had is extremely valuable, because our clients are busy. And I'd say every technology professional is super busy right now. So having a reference point that you can go back to, it's almost a value differentiator, really. Like if you can take good notes, like they are going to feel like maybe they don't remember exactly everything, but they know that they can go to a place and they trust that place is there. So that they can, you know, prep in 5 minutes to talk to their boss or their executives or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I like, and I'm open-minded about,
yeah, sure,
about there being slides. I do like giving you a tough time because, you know, caveman, haha, funny. But the way that we sort of solve that problem. So the one thing that I do like coming out of your process is that the customer does get this finely tuned artifact that's specific to them, right? Yeah. With our process after the discovery call, every one of our reps, and if they're not doing it, I strangle them and then they're not doing anymore.
Got to do what a CEO got to do, you know?
You know, every now and then you got to just take one out and earn the respect of the herd. No, they're all pretty good. And in fact, I was just in the sales saddle for a couple of weeks, and I was like, knowing that they're all doing this, I'm like, I got to make sure that I'm not letting things slip just because I'm the boss. Yeah. But basically after every call, we send out like my call notes.
Yeah.
So I'm taking notes in a tool on the side, and that all gets piped into Salesforce so that I've got those notes in the future. And then after the call, I take a few minutes and probably like 5 to 15 minutes and really think, okay, here's what we talked about. Here's the sort of top three things. Then here's the sort of recommendations and next steps. And then basically in the PS it's like, oh, and I also mentioned this case study, here's that. And I mentioned this part of the book, so here's a link to that chapter. And so the fact that we're sending is this sort of email, which in some ways is not nearly as polished as what you're sending. So I like that they get this custom tuned artifact.
Yeah.
Whether or not we agree on, you should be, you're reading off your slides or whatnot. And I'm not saying that you guys do. I know that's a habit that's easy to get.
Yeah.
I've done it myself. So I'm like, I can't criticize and say I'm better than anybody else. I've just done it.
Yeah.
So
do you have a standard kind of note format? Like, that everybody follows, or is that
for different calls? So we have an Are We a Fit call that our SDRs run through, and they've got standard notes. We use a tool called Duly. I've talked about it on the show a couple of times, and we have different templates within Duly, and then all of the Duly templates within, it's basically Evernote that links to different Salesforce fields, and so you can just type slash in the Salesforce field name and then pull it up. But I don't want to be doing that on a call in real time. And so we have them all templatized. And so we've got our medic on there. We've got our like call flow, we call them call flow answers. So basically the answers from the Are We a Fit call doc.
Yep.
And so they're tied into the bottom of that doc. And so when I, at the start of the call, I like to open, we open with a summary. And so we, I scroll down to that Are We a Fit call section. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I had a chat with Tristan. Here's what he told me. It's this. What am I missing? And then that allows us to start off from the, you know, from the same point. After that, for me in the discovery, I'm very free form in my note taking, because I have a good feel for the way the what the questions that we need to answer sort of unconsciously. I don't have to think about it. In the earlier days, I absolutely had a structure and a framework. And for our account execs, they each have sort of templates for each of the conversations that we're having. So yeah, typically discovery and follow-on conversations.
I guess I would care less about how an individual takes notes or captures, but it's more about, for me, I think it would be great, like, if those are shared, right? Mm-hmm. It would be nice if those were, you know, consistent from rep to rep.
Yeah. Basically at the end of every call, like, we have them go through a specific, like, it's in their note template that they actually have to fill out, like, update their medic and update their next steps and score their medic. So yeah, before you save that note, we coach them on, these are the things you need to run through to make sure this note is complete.
Yeah. I have been tempted to do slides in like our intro discovery call, like in our very first meeting, maybe not slides, but like a one slide. I have been sold that way before, but I wasn't a fit for, you know, whoever was selling me. Mm-hmm. And it was okay, but I don't really want to do that. It just seems kind of overly, like, too much, but I'm open-minded about it too. Like, if I had a rep who was really, you know, thought it would be valuable and was experimenting with it, those first two meetings with the customer are so important, and they set the tone. Like, you can basically know whether or not after the second meeting, if it's going to happen or not. So I mean, we're willing to experiment, but it's not something that we've formalized right now, but something I'm curious about in general.
That's fair. Well, people, if you're listening and you're currently using slides in the process, reach out to Troy. We'll get his details at the end, and you can let him know if it's working or not working for you. Cool, man. Basically, you know, yeah, if we're looking at sort of slides or not slides, I think there's a bunch of different ways that you can look at it. We don't have to go super, we've already kind of covered quite a bit of the ground. So why don't we jump into sort of, we've covered discovery, we've covered your outline, the outline. So basically it's a discovery call. It's an outline call, yep, right? The outline call finishes, you book the next step, which is basically feedback. So yep, you're giving them a chance to, now you're sending off this outline to them. They're going to review that, come back, and you're going to work on, like, it feels like, wouldn't they just give you feedback on the outline call?
Oh yeah, they do. That's when we take it. Like, I want it to be, I don't want to invent work for, I don't want to give them work. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. I'll take all that work. I'll try to make this as easy as possible for you. So we take that feedback synchronously, over the, you know, it's over a Zoom. So, video is pretty important. And yeah, I mean, you know, say, hey, I'll kind of, you know, adapt the slide according to our conversation. I'll, you know, get rid of this line item and, you know, maybe add a couple more and et cetera, but, you know, tweak it essentially. And then the follow-up from that outline review and that feedback in the email, I'll also include the updated, you know, the updated slides that are a little bit more solidified. I don't know if I would officially call it, hey, this is like the done deal proposal yet, because sometimes they need to circulate it and kind mm-hmm. of gather other kind of internal feedback. But yeah, I mean, after that, it's fairly liquid how the process works. I mean, sometimes they'll want to talk to a customer. Sometimes they'll want to see a case study. We're a fairly young company. We don't have case studies yet. That's something that we're kind of actively working on, mm-hmm. And evaluating if that's, you know, a big investment that we really want to make. So I think
100%, yes,
we're still on the fence of if that's an investment that we want to make.
About case studies?
Yeah. I mean, a case study, you know, or yeah, many case studies. I think we'll have to have these artifacts. It's just to what fidelity do they exist, right? Yeah. And
I would say case studies when we were in the like $1 million, $2 million range, case studies were like the TSN turning point for our sales team and just allowing them to accelerate. And if all of your business is referrals, it might not be as critical. But just I know for us and for a lot of our customers, the difference between having case studies and not is huge. And
yeah,
at least like for us producing them, like it shouldn't cost a ton. It shouldn't take a ton of time.
Sure.
Like, I'll jump on a video. I ask them 5 questions, right? Or 6 questions. Like,
yeah,
what were you doing before? Why did you decide to do something? Why did you choose us?
Yeah.
How's it gone so far? What's the impact it's had on your business? It's a 20 to 30 minute call. And then I just send it off to our ghostwriter and be like, hey man, write this up. And then, you know, a couple of days later, you've got this, like you've got a document, you upload it to your WordPress and you're good to go. I find like so many people take so long for something that's so critical,
yeah, even
having a low fidelity one just to start, yeah, right? Like you could send it to a designer on Fiverr and for $50, it's a PDF that doesn't look terrible, right? That you could host it up there in Google or wherever.
That's fair. I mean, that's a totally fair point. I mean, sometimes they want to talk to a consultant and sometimes they want to talk to a customer, and you know, that's when we kind of get into this. I mean, we call it the negotiation phase, but really it's a catch all for anything that's kind of pre SOW, but kind of proposal.
So at what point does the official proposal land? Is it after that feedback step?
Yeah, it's after that feedback step. And that's basically, I wouldn't say it's like a real hard line. There is a little bit of kind of like bleeding into everything. And, you know, they might have other, you know, if they take it internally and they're like, oh, you know, hey, our budget's a little bit less or our budget's a little bit more. Like,
well, when customers say that.
Yeah, it's amazing. You do have to kind of train them to say that. You have to set it up the right way. And then they do start to say that. So that's something that is difficult, but you know, it obviously it's very rewarding if you could do it correctly. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know if we have like a, hey, here's like when this thing is done. It's just like, okay, are you ready to get started on this? And a lot of the times people are coming to us and they're bleeding, and then we need to come in and kind of help stop bleeding. So there's a lot of urgency. And then at that point it's okay, we're talking about rates, we're talking about commercials, and once we're talking about rates and commercials, I kind of leave, like the proposal isn't really like a thing that's, you know, maintained too much anymore. I kind of, you know, do it as much as necessary, really.
Gotcha. And then you have them sign an SOW.
Yeah. And then
once you've got it all decided on.
Yeah. We do paperwork and lawyers talk and then hopefully we get signatures.
Right on. And then hopefully the cash gets into the bank account shortly thereafter.
Yeah. I mean, we actually haven't had too many problems with cash and customers not paying. So, but yeah, that is the ideal scenario is when people pay.
Right on. So last question, then I want to jump into the lightning round.
Sure.
And I feel like we've kind of beat this, but I do want to jump on this one last time. The outline sounds like a proposal. Why don't you just call it a proposal right out of the gate?
I think you could. I think it's just a psychology thing. I think people just need to, I got some good advice just by paying attention to sales leaders that I kind of trust and get inspired by. And, you know, having something that seems really kind of static and fixed is something that I have experience with this happening too. Like I would say, hey, here's our proposal. And then they'd be like, no, I think we're going to go this direction because it didn't land perfectly. And just setting something up that, hey, we can get to perfect together, but really I need you to give me some feedback and some, just some insights to how this, you know, how can we make this flexible so you can, you know, sell this internally. And I think it's a really important kind of psychological element. Those words are really important to people, and it's just words are so important and they mean different things to different people. So definitely making it an open-ended thing is really important for us to get conversion really.
And I like that your process is designed to sort of elicit that feedback. You know, yeah. I've often described the sales process as like a slow one-sided negotiation where you're trying to learn as much as you can without giving up too much, as opposed to just me standing there being like retail sales, be like, let me tell you everything about this.
Yeah.
Ops, mm-hmm. You know, and I like I like framing it up as an outline, air quotes, as opposed to proposal. It just this like air of, it's not finished yet. This is a draft. It's not even a draft of a proposal. It's just like a loose idea and let's have a conversation.
Yeah. Proposal just seems overly, you know, like I'm on a stage and I'm presenting and it's very outward. It's very like talking, like I'm talking about, you know, describing our business and how it can be valuable. And I would say the outline is really setting you up to be to exactly like you said, to listen. Mm-hmm. I really want to listen. And that, you know, I'm a very curious person. I like asking questions. I like to, you know, understand where people are coming from. You know, I think that's kind of why I was asking you earlier about, you know, questions. And I just really like to get to know people and understand kind of where they're coming from. And people communicate in so many different ways. It's really important for us to set ourselves up to listen.
Right on.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you coming on the show. I want to get to the lightning round piece here so we can get glean some quick information from you. So without further ado, how do you get people to reply to your cold emails?
I would say this is something I struggle with. Honestly, if a cold email, I'm probably not set up to be successful on it. So I don't have a great answer for that. But you know, if I did have to say something, we are experimenting with like video and sending them some kind of direct mail, mm-hmm. any kind of multi-channel stuff to, you know, prep them to listen is really, I would say, our approach so far.
Right on. And yeah. So let's say you're going around that cold email and you're making a cold call or even a call with a referral and they're kind of giving you the brush off.
Yeah. I mean, that's just resilience. I hear no all the time. I think it's something that, you know, you kind of have to listen to what they're saying. And if they're saying something that is, you know, hey, I'm not really ready for this. Like, call me again. Like, okay, that's a no now, but maybe in the future. But, you know, really, I would say a lot of our business isn't really like built on cold calling. So it's not something that I have a ton of expertise in, but I hear no all the time and I'm a very resilient person and, you know, the youngest of, 13 cousins. So I'm constantly hearing no and getting beat up and things like that. So I have a fairly tough skin.
That's fair. Yeah. And finally, when it comes to the end of the quarter and you need that extra little push, what do you do?
Dude, I feel like I'm answering all your questions. Like I don't have, like for us, if I'm end of quarter and I need a push, like I've already fucked up.
Yeah.
It's really, I want to make sure, like at that point, I'm thinking about the next quarter. And you know, for us, we've had very positive growth. We've already hit some pretty critical kind of growth goals, you know, in June this year. So really it's trying to recalibrate and make sure that we have goals that are set up, you know, for the end of the year. But really we don't have like a quarter to quarter kind of push. We try to keep it a daily consistent grind that I'm not super focused on June 30th.
I couldn't agree more. We don't even do quarters here. We do, as a whole company, we plan in cycles. So it's a two month cycle. It's nothing innovative. It's the same as a quarter. It's just instead of 3 months, it's two. I always found that in the middle of a quarter, there's always that 1 month, you kind of, you know, the beginning, you get a really good start. The middle, you kind of slack off a bit. And then the third month is where all the work actually gets done.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me projecting my slack behaviors onto everybody else.
Yeah.
We found in the early days, planning on the quarter was like by the end of 3 months, because we were moving so quickly, all the plans were irrelevant. So we moved to 1 month and then we were finding it was taking too much planning to go into each individual sort of session.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, we'll make it 2 months. And then we've stuck with 2 months for about 3 years now, 2.5 years. And it's sort of, you know, one of the byproducts was it eliminated the, you know, quarter end push.
Yeah.
So
I mean, for me, like, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this as a CEO, you know, as a founder of a company, there's just a ton of stuff that can kind of come up and distract you. And I try to minimize those distractions. I've recently really tried to start to minimize those distractions as much as possible so that I can focus on my clients and my customers and my team.
Troy, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I feel like I learned a ton. I really enjoyed diving into having a conversation about how your sales process works, how you structured it, seeing all the things, giving you a bit of a tough time about, chiseling your slides into stone. I really enjoyed that. If anybody wants to get in touch with Troy, I'm going to throw a link to his LinkedIn profile in the show notes here. So feel free to reach out to him there. And we'll see y'all next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, all right.
Thanks, Troy.